You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Abroad, there were some who admired the way this new Germany stood up for herself.
In America, we've had many reports against your new government, and in most cases, this has caused hasty demonstrations everywhere. I can now say to you that the American people today realize that these stories are untrue and without foundation. I find that there's a new, fresh vitality here in Germany under your great leader and Chancellor Adolf Hitler, of whom I'm a great admirer. The new Germany will live, for you have the best centralized government in the world today.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it.
Well, good evening, everyone. Today is Sunday, March 17th, 2019. You are listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers. You can join us in the chat room at onfrequencyradio.chattango.com. Our fellow dog lover, Kenneth, is in the control room to fiddle with the dials down there and answer calls should you, the listener, want to edify us with your sharing your own pearls of wisdom or whatever might happen come to your mind. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Also, if you can, you can help support RBN, and you're encouraged to do so if you can afford it. I know times are bad, but Kenneth, of course, needs to buy some wholesome non-GMO dog food. Anyway, as a disclaimer, you know, I wish everyone would go to YouTube after this show or after Blacklisted News Radio or whatever, whenever you tune out. There you go. And watch some of those fail videos or instant regret ones, and you'll see that no matter where you are, whatever race, religion, age group, or whatever like that, that demographically people all over the world are the same. Basically all idiots. But anyway, who would stand there and let someone else throw darts at their head? I mean, for God's sakes, are people that stupid? In fact, I would say Russian women can't drive either, just like my ex-wife couldn't either. So anyway, on to tonight's show. I get so sick and tired of this race baity that we have out here nowadays. News. Following a few mild words of dissent by Congresswoman Omar, the U.S. House of Representatives was almost unified in affirming the special relationship between Israel and the United States. And of course, this exposed quite a bit here about how the lobby, AIPAC, and those guys work here in the United States. And this also went into in-depth, which included the U.S. Treasury. And of course, the answer is that Israel's banks have been accused now of also have admittedly to actively colluding with the wealthy U.S. taxpayers to avoid U.S. taxes. And I like how they differentiate between the two there. You can bet that those wealthy U.S. taxpayers are from Israel or dual citizen. Anyway, I have a couple clips for you tonight here. One I'm going to get right into here because I want to finish off with some other stuff. So I'm going to have Kenneth play the clip number one here. It's 6 minutes and 36 seconds long. But this shows you the fact of this so-called BS about anti-Semitism and stuff, that even the faithful Jews of today recognize that there is a problem with politics in this country, and it should be addressed. So with that, I'll have Kenneth play clip number one.
This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. On Thursday, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed a resolution condemning anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim discrimination, white supremacy, and other forms of hate. The resolution, as initially written, was seen as a direct rebuke of Democratic Congressmember Ilhan Omar for her comments about U.S. foreign policy with Israel. The vote capped a week of intense debate among congressional Democrats about anti-Semitism and U.S. policy on Israel. We're joined now by three guests. In Tel Aviv, Gideon Levy, longtime Israeli journalist, Haaretz columnist, member of the newspaper's editorial board. His latest piece headlined, Keep It Up, Ilhan Omar. He's also the author of The Punishment of Gaza. Phyllis Bennis is with us in Washington, fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, serves on the National Board of Jewish Voice for Peace. Her recent piece for In These Times headlined, Why False Accusations of Anti-Semitism Against Ilhan Omar Are So Harmful. And Remy Kanazi is with us here in New York, a Palestinian American poet and activist, the author of a collection of poetry, Before the Next Bomb Drops, Rising Up from Brooklyn to Palestine. We welcome you all to Democracy Now! Let's go to Tel Aviv first. Gideon Levy, your response to the debate and the final passage of the resolution on Thursday in the House of Representatives.
It's wonderful that the House deals with anti-Semitism. It's wonderful that the House condemns anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism should be condemned, but the context is very suspicious and very troubling. Let me be very frank with you, Amy. We have to say the truth. The Israeli lobby, the Jewish lobby, are by far too strong and too aggressive. It's not good for the Jewish community. It's not good for Israel. What is happening now is that some kind of fresh air, some kind of new voices are emerging from Capitol Hill, raising legitimate questions about Israel, about America's foreign policy toward Israel, and about the Israeli lobby in the States. Those are very legitimate questions, and it is more than needed to raise them. But the Israeli propaganda and the Jewish propaganda in recent years made it as a systematic method. Whenever anybody dares to raise questions or to criticize Israel, he is immediately and automatically labeled as anti-Semite, and then he has to shut his mouth, because after this, what can he say? This vicious circle should be broken, and I really hope that great, great politicians like Mrs. Omar and others will be courageous enough to stand in front of those accusations and to say, yes, it is legitimate to criticize Israel. Yes, it is legitimate to raise question, and this does not mean that we are anti-Semites. We are not ready to play this game anymore in which they shut our mouths with those accusations, which in most of the cases are hollow.
What kind of effect does this debate? Now, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Andre Carson, the three Muslim Congress members, applauded the final resolution, saying it's the first time that there was this anti-Islamophobia resolution that was passed by the House of Representatives. Of course, in addition to the anti-Semitism issue, they broadened it out. What kind of effect does this debate have in Israel? And, you know, you're just about to have your elections. The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is just about to be indicted for corruption.
Yeah, as you probably know, Amy, the campaign in Israel deals only with one question, Netanyahu, yes or no, and many more important questions and crucial questions and fatal questions are even not being discussed. But in any case, Mrs. Omar will be also portrayed in Israel, as in any other place in the Jewish communities, as an anti-Semite, as a dangerous woman, as an enemy of peace, an enemy of Israel, an enemy of the Jewish people. And, you know, the propaganda, this kind of propaganda is very, very efficient. And we just have, I just got so many emails after my last piece, and someone asked me, how can a Jew support such a woman? So I answered him very easily, very, very easily, because she seems to be courageous and she seems to say the truth. And it's about time to say the truth. And yes, Amy, to ask, do we support automatically and blindly the occupation? Is it legitimate to criticize the occupation? Maybe it is legitimate to handle Israel as South Africa was handled. Maybe BDS is something that we should consider. Those questions are even not legitimate to raise in the United States. And maybe now this vicious circle will be broken and people will have the courage, the guts, and the power to ask questions. Yes, everything is questioned. Even God is questionable. So the relations with Israel is not questionable. I saw the other day a congressman say that nobody should question the relations between the United States and Israel. Excuse me? Nobody should question the relations between Israel and the United States? Here from Tel Aviv, I claim that those relationships are corrupted and are bad for peace and bad for Israel for the long run, because the United States let Israel go crazy, continue the occupation, do whatever it wants, and get this automatic and blind support.
Gideon Levy is speaking to us from Tel Aviv, a Jewish reporter with Haaretz newspaper, the Israeli newspaper, and on the editorial board there.
Well, there you have it. More and more we see that. That's why I get so sick and tired of people doing a broad brushstroke across the entire canvas that all Jews are bad or something like that. But remember, I had Miko Pilo on here not too long ago there, and he's the general's son, and had Gilead Atzmon. Of course, he's one of supposed to be called these self-hating Jews. But whenever you speak up about Israel's policies, you're instantly labeled as anti-Semitic, or as that one gal from the Knesset said, they pull a Holocaust card too, you know. And people are getting tired of this. It should be open about who's supporting what in United States politics, because this is supposed to be the United States. If Israel wants to run their country, that's fine. And on top of what Gordon Levy just said there, I was just reading there on Twitter there that Israel's liberal far-right extremist Zionists are going to proceed with the elections. And I don't know if this is because Netanyahu might be out or what, due to his corruption. But it makes a guy wonder there. And, of course, if those far-right extremist Zionists come into power, God knows what would happen over there, especially to the Palestinians there. And, of course, anyone who speaks out about that is, anti-Semite. Erdogan here just accused Netanyahu, said he was a tyrant who massacres children. Of course, I had one of those pot meat kettle moments there, because Erdogan, with the U.S. and NATO, formed this ISIL and Al-Qaeda and these other FSA groups and stuff over in Syria, which have butchered not only children, but women and men. It's, I think, upwards of 500,000 now in this proxy war to remove another democratically elected government. And it's just funny to see all the doublespeak. And I'm going to mention some of that doublespeak here later on here, because some of the tweets here lately, especially since this mosque shooting down there in New Zealand here, which has now claimed the 50th life, that when you hear people tweet, it's like, don't they understand what they're saying? But I'll get into that. In lieu of what this video was about, Fox News will not air Judge Jeanie this week, and this is through a spokesperson that they declined to provide a reason that this host Jeanie Pirro, the judge, who was widely criticized this week for her comments about Representative Omar, which Fox News later condemned. And of course, this was some tyrant rant of hers about this Islamophobic remarks. However, not to be outdone, Trump just tweeted here not too long ago. He says, bring back Judge Jeanie Pirro. The radical left Democrats, working closely with their beloved partner, the fake news media, is using every trick in the book to silence a majority in our country. That may have been open for free speech, I guess. But it's the contents of whatever Trump always says. What Trump always omits is who owns the media. And that is where people should be looking. Why is the media setting policies to whether either criticize one and allow the other? And I mean, it's so much doublespeak in that you just can't wrap your head around it. So when you sit there talking about fake news, well, again, who owns all the news stations? If it's fake, then apparently you should go after them. And on top of that, Israel has pounded Gaza again after a mistaken missile launch. And of course, this is where Hamas officials were meeting with Egyptian mediators at the time when two rockets were launched. And of course, the Egyptian delegation, which has been conducting these indirect negotiations between Hamas and Israel. And we remember, even Netanyahu just admitted that Israel funds Hamas. Omar also admitted that Israel funds Hamas. And this is always how you play both sides of it, you know. Anyway, he was told by Israel, you know, to leave Israel that night right before the bombardment there. And, of course, this probably was to make him a military target. And, of course, right on top of that, as Israel does this, the U.S. threatens the ICC again, the International Criminal Courts, with any notion of even condemning Israel for anything. And you can watch Trump's comment on that, just like last week where I mentioned that Trump said that if he was run as president in Israel, he would have 98% of the vote. And that was such an asinine statement. It was pathetic there because he was a U.S. president. But it shows you this dual loyalty that is so prevalent in politics today, in as much as those like these radicalized evangelical Christians like Secretary Pompeo and those that believe that Israel is God's gift to mankind or something. And therefore, when U.S. generals tell you that your sons should be prepared to die for Israel in the military, I mean, this is all for a foreign country. And all Israel has to do is abide by international law. And, of course, they won't set borders. This is, again, like Trump talking about the wall's work. Of course, the wall theory, I guess, now has been defeated. But Trump says the wall's work, and he gave as a reference, look at Israel. Yeah, well, U.S. tax dollars built those walls. And, of course, this is to block out the indigenous population that actually belongs there. So we have to get rid of this dual loyalty. And I've used that analogy before about what would you do if a Jehovah's Witness came knocking on your door every Saturday morning there early after you had worked all week and you thought you had finally a good weekend to sleep into. And the government had passed a law that you had to listen to everything they said, accept their literature, invite them in for coffee or whatever like that, you know. And if you didn't, you'd be breaking the law. Well, see, that's what they're doing with this mandating that Americans somehow abide by whatever the government claims that is our national security interest in this country towards Israel. And that question's been brought up quite a bit. What has Israel done for America? Nothing. Stolen a lot of high-tech stuff, I can tell you that. Anyway, the above, though, this is on where we look at, just in the last few months here, that nearly 200 Palestinians, including 40 children, have been killed during a Great March of Return protest, and more than 7,800 have been injured by live fire. And, of course, those Muslims don't matter. New Zealand does. You see the doublespeak? I mean, this is what just, you know. And on top of that, the U.S. has now dropped the word occupied from the description of the West Bank, Gaza, Golan Heights. And this is because the U.S. Congress is trying to vote on this to try to strip the Syrians of their own land. And this is because of Genie Oil and the oil on there with Rupert Murdoch and other U.S. politicians that are so embedded in this. I mean, this is how bad the corruption is. When you invest into a country who doesn't own anything but can steal it, that's no different than what they're doing down in Venezuela or trying to do down in Venezuela. Got a break coming up here. The U.S. and Canada and EU are to hit Russia with fresh new sanctions over Ukraine. And, of course, anyone that wants to do their homework can freely get out there and research the Ukraine, what happened, the push that happened there, and find out that this is all based on total lies. Anyway, we'll be right back. 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thing that you want to know, turn to talk radio. Anytime at all, anywhere you go, it's on talk radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here on RBN. I was briefly discussing this U.S. and Canada and EU to hit Russia with fresh sanctions over Ukraine. You know, historically, if you go back in time and look at U.S. sanctions and who they were on, you'll find out that in the latter, the United States usually goes to war with those that they sanction. So, we know that they're still working on this Venezuela deal. But for you, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you might want to get the kiddies ready. Because the U.S. will do something to provoke this this war with Russia. And, you know, this is designed to provoke someone in the first place, just like it was with Japan. Because, remember, Churchill and Roosevelt had set out those deliberate 8-point sanctions on Japan to cripple its economy. And that's why Japan moved into China. And of course, you can believe all the lies you want about the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor, but it was in all the papers that Japan may strike over the weekend. The Aussie code breaker that had broken the Imperial Japanese Code in 1939, 2 years before the so-called alleged sneak attack. Plus, as I've mentioned before, that documentary which shows that it may have been a sixth mini sub in from Japan that was sank off the coast of Hawaii an hour before Pearl Harbor with a massive 10-inch hole or so through its conning tower. But, you know, all these are used to provoke other people so that they can say, see, they're attacking us. Help us. They're attacking us. But anyway, I get so sick and tired of it. That's all this country is, I guess, is based on is war. And, of course, we've heard the testimony from Wolf Blitzer talking to Rand Paul about the slaughter in Yemen. And, of course, it looks like Congress is finally reversing its decision on supporting the Saudi terror over there. But, of course, the U.S. won't drop its arms sales. It's supposed to limit its so-called intel sharing and perhaps refueling of Saudi planes. But the beat goes on, and this is what is so shocking there, is because, like Wolf Blitzer said, what about those jobs in the arms industry? And as I mentioned earlier, the fact about Khashoggi there, when that journalist was slaughtered by the Saudis there, they asked Trump if that was going to damage their relationship, and Trump says no. He talked about the billions of dollars in arms sales, and of course I've mentioned this, about the nearly $1 billion, almost $1 billion, that the U.S. is going to foot up front there to do the activation and training of these so-called missile-type systems there that Saudi Arabia has. On top of that, you still have the so-called link to 9/11 with Saudi Arabia, the 28 heavily redacted 28 pages linking Saudi Arabia. I mean, it does not make sense when you hear someone like George Bush say, either you're with us or you're against us. It's just pure doublespeak. And, of course, this is because of Yemen, which is another oil-rich area and has massive coffee fields and stuff. And if you watch that video called Dirty Wars by Jeremy Shahill, which is on Netflix, the JSOC is notorious for the same type of things that we see happen down in New Zealand, where the JSOC will slap down in some little village, bust through the door, and shoot everything they can like that, and it turns out there's women and children there, and that's just part of collateral damage. Same thing over in Yemen, where the Hellfire missile will take out an alleged terrorist camp, and it turns out to be a family of goat or sheep herders. That's all it was. There is no justification for the crimes that are being committed there, and to me, I don't care how anyone else sees it, but to me, it's a rogue government. Anyway, on top of that, the New York Times has reported that the mosque murderer down there in New Zealand was influenced by Anders Breivik. He was a Norwegian terrorist. And the Times shows Breivik in this article here giving the Nazi salute. The Times doesn't report, though, that Breivik was a Masonic supporter of neo-Nazi Israeli government who killed 77 Norwegians while gathered to protest Israeli's crimes. Plus, to be fair, don't forget this nugget of truth below, as I've brought out many a times, the fact that the Jews are actually arming the Nazis over in Ukraine. And this is that article there on Haaretz News, where it says, rights groups demand Israel stop arming the neo-Nazis in Ukraine. Never again. Yes, the Jews are arming Nazis. And then we see the United States right behind that, where they don't condemn what the Nazis are doing, as they hail it as free speech. Currently, there's a tweet showing the profiles of most of the main high-profile shooters, all who happen to be Jewish. And of course, I don't want to blame all the Jews for that, though I don't want to reflect on the many great ones that are out there, but this is the fact that many are trapped in this fueled racism and hatred by those in power. But it's funny, though, that whenever a Jew is involved, they never get shot and killed. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, we'll be right back. 1-800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
If you want to vent your frustrations, you got some things that you need to say. There's a place where people always listen. Go on, dial it up today. Talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up, and louder than go. Talk radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers, and if you were in the chat room, you would see a font fight going on right now. Justin is having problems, probably due to his matters of indiscretion of his, to his youth there, that he can't read anymore, so he needs larger fonts. I have a second pair of glasses I need when I slap that on. So. Anyway, I got some Montana local news here. We also had a shooting here Thursday. My daughter was late to work. There was a shooting in Missoula, just off the expressway down there by the Missoula airport. And two people were shot. One of those, I believe, now has since died. along with a third person who was not injured that did call 911. Both victims were transported to the hospital, and the extent of their injuries was unknown at the time. And I just said that the one of them has passed from what I've heard. However, the suspect fled the scene in a white SUV. Steve Elkins and I was laughing about that. He sent me the Bronco there from OJ there. But it was a Chevy Suburban, not a Ford Bronco. But anyway, less than an hour later, though, and this was the sad news about it, law enforcement responded to Highway 93 North, which is south of me here, about 35 miles or so, to another report of shots fired in the Evero area, where one person was taken to the Missoula Hospital in that incident. That one person was Montana Highway Patrol Officer Palmer, who was in his seatbelt and shot. He didn't get a chance to get his revolver out. So he was rushed to St. Pat's and then on the critical list flown down to Utah. And I have tweeted the Highway Patrol here to find out the status of him. Because one thing I do respect in this state here, at least, is our Montana Highway Patrol. They are some awesome officers. I've had to deal with them on quite a few of these accidents that I respond to. And they are some of the finest guys out there, I'll tell you, and a couple of girls there too, but generally most of them are men there. But anyway, but it shows you that, you know what, no matter where you are, some freak can strike. And it could be a mosque down in New Zealand, it could be a synagogue in some other state, and a lot of times we like to perceive whether or not this is some agenda there, because in New Zealand, right after that, they went on automatically to ban any assault rifles. That was a snap decision. And, of course, we know that's what they're trying to do here. And on top of that, though, we have states that are mandating entire areas that can have guns. People aren't falling in for this BS here. They know what's coming here. Anyway, other good news here from Montana is our spring thaw is coming. I have a lake out in front of my pickup truck, which has been almost down for, 3 weeks now. I haven't had the health there to get out there and change that crankcase sensor, and I did get my new coil pack for it, but I was able to change 3 spark plugs in it. The other ones have to be done as it officially warms up more, because I have to take off that shroud covering the area inside the wheels. To get at those plugs, but I'm hoping I can find that problem that's causing the vehicle to misfire. But with 286,000 miles on it, you never know. It could be my last vehicle because I can't get any help. Anyway, so Billings comes out here with a kind of like a global warming type of story here, where it says high temperatures in Billings to finally approach normal this weekend. And the article goes on to talk about what the averages are and stuff, which basically says that we're a lot colder than what we are and that the spring thaw is coming. That's all it is. And if Patty's listening there, I was watching a lot of videos from different areas last night of the flooding that's already occurring up north of her in Missouri. And if our thaw is just starting and that flooding is just getting going, most rivers run at about 12 miles an hour. So when they start releasing all this massive water from up in the four states area, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and then into Canada, I wonder what is going to happen downstream as the Missouri and the Mississippi rivers and their tributaries start to fill up. So I hope this isn't going to be another, as I've mentioned before, one of those 2011 flood years, all caused then, though, by the U.S. government. I did see a good video on Sputnik News there of a man who defies firefighters and he rescues a dog. I love to hear the firefighters say, "Hey, you can't go in there." The guy went there and he got that dog. He got burned a little bit like that, but it was worth it. He saved a dog's life. That doesn't make it, you know. I'd sent this other article here over to Mike here, Rivero here, I think 2 or 3 days ago here, about how a virus outbreak has left a deployed U.S. Navy warship quarantined at sea for over 2 months. A viral infection with symptoms similar to mumps has been making its way around the USS Fort McHenry, a U.S. Navy warship currently quarantined in the Persian Gulf. Dogs are starting to bark again. But it makes you wonder. I thought all these Navy and soldiers and stuff had all their vaccines and stuff, and maybe that's what caused it. There's been a lot of news here in the vaccine industry here that more and more people are realizing that vaccines actually cause the outbreaks. Because remember, they're giving you live viruses. I know. Here's one. I had a kick out of watching this. It was entitled, basically, What Would You Do? This was in Moscow where a prankster, he checks the police reaction with a toy gun. And what happens is he walks by about 25 Russian police officers who were standing in this little group. And out of his pocket drops a gun. And it sounds just like a real gun. And he bends down, picks it up. And the officers just look at him and they go back to talking like that. Here, could you imagine what would happen here if that had happened? He's got a gun! So, that was kind of a funny video, though. Anyway. There was a nice tweet from a lady down in Venezuela that I have here for a comment here coming up. But matter of fact, I'll go ahead and I'll have Kenneth play that other one here. So, Kenneth, could you play that second clip there? Yeah, second, sir.
A nice guy on the other side, who was on the other side, he put three people in his car and took them to hospital. And the guy on the street, he was trying to ring his wife, the one I had. And the other guy I could see was in bad shape, but I couldn't get to him because that was where directly the gunfire was coming from. And the guy I was compressing, he was trying to ring his wife. And I managed to get it, and I answered the phone, and I said to her, your husband's been shot outside the mosque, I said, and don't come here to Dean's Ave, you won't get through, but please go to the hospital, mate, for him. And then I kept talking to him and telling him that she was at the hospital waiting, and he wasn't to give up, and, yeah, we just kept pressure on and did the best we could for him until we got him some help. Yeah, and in the meantime, the poor guy across the road passed away. And my car's still down there.
Oh, Jill, that's so terrible.
I never thought of, I'm 66, never thought in my life I'd love to see something like this. Not in New Zealand.
So horrible. And can we really commend you for what you did? You're really a hero for taking care of that boy.
No, you just do what you do at the time. I wish I could have done more.
Yeah, one thing I noticed about this was the area down there. I'm not sure about Christchurch. I know they've had problems with earthquakes and stuff there, but as far as law enforcement and stuff, Christchurch looks to me like it's a fairly reasonable sized town and stuff, but it was hailed as a thank you that it only took the officers 20 some odd minutes to arrive. I think it was 28 minutes to get there. 28 minutes. I have that little tag thing on my email which says when seconds count, a cop is minutes away. But if you sadly were able to witness that, as that guy live streamed that, and of course my email flooded up with the videos and references to that, with links to the video and all that. And when you watch that video, I mean, yes, I mean, this guy is a total nut job there. I knew that from the second he got in his vehicle and he started playing some wacky music. You'd never hear someone with Waylon Jennings music doing that crap. But anyway, what got me about the video there is watching it was the fact that he had all those guns. And it wasn't just the ones that he, when he first shows, where he goes to the back and he gets, it looks like some kind of a pump shotgun type thing out. I'm not much on firearms, but anyway, and he's got a whole bunch of types of clips for it. And he goes in there and the first guy at the door, he shoots. And of course, your reasoning kicks in whether or not it was just going to be a phony shooting or something there. And of course, me, instantly, you start looking for blood to see if it's going to be real. But he just walks over that guy and this proceeds to down this hallway there and starts shooting. And then all these people were buckled in the corners and stuff. He just sat there repeatedly shooting into their bodies and stuff. And if they had any movement, he would shoot them again. And then he'd walk back out. And then when he walked back out, he'd do some more shooting and shoot at people on the street. And you realize, can't people hear that? Isn't anyone else calling the police down there? But then he walks out to his vehicle, reloads, gets another different weapon, and goes back in there and does the same thing over. And he's you can hear him saying something about his timing or something. It didn't take that long or something like that. Like he was proud of what he was doing. And, of course, in the chat room here, a guy, one of the users there, sent a photo there. It showed one of the Muslims that were dead on the street there. And in the video, I watched her go down there, and he pumped two or three rounds into her. But when he gets back into his vehicle just before he takes off, there on his left seat, he drives on the right side, but on the left seat, were four or five more assault-type weapons. And you wonder, like, well, doesn't New Zealand have laws against that? Well, apparently they've passed them now. But this is what bothers me, is how people can go off the edge at any moment. And as I've said, it could be a shopping mall, it could be anything, where someone's just, you know, like Gerald Celente says, when, you know, after you lose it all, you've got nothing else to lose. And, you know, most of these guys figure that they're going to be taken out, and they won't have to live with what they did anyway, like that, you know, whereas some don't, and they'll spend the rest of their life in prison and stuff. And of course, what's it to them? They get, you know, three meals a day, all the medical health needs they want, TV, cable, libraries, internet access. I mean, it's the life of the party, right? But I have more comments on that here coming up too here, but I wanted to save them for my second hour here. But anyway, another propaganda video is out on North Korea. And of course, the focus on this one is the world's anxiety lies squarely on the country of North Korea. Many of us don't even know where, heck, I mean, I do, but many people don't even know where North Korea is on the map. Hell, they can't even find New York. But this is this constant BS where North Korea is some threat. And, of course, the it's a new video there off the top documentaries there, but it highlights its threat assessment to South Korea. No. That's wrong, because remember when Moon was running for president of South Korea, that his family was immigrants from North Korea, which got separated during the Korean War, and his campaign promise was to reunite the two Koreas. And remember Hillary Clinton, who said that their U.S. standard policy was that the Koreas should never come together in any peace thing, because, again, you are talking about billions of dollars in arms sales, that of to South Korea, Japan, and other areas like, you know, perhaps the Philippines, all this. And this is all it is to keep the tensions in the world going, to give the statement of need, to have an American family that sits there and eats their cheeseburgers and stuff, and the father says, well, I have to go out and make some more arms to kill people. There's got to be, I mean, imagine the amount of money put into arms. If $30 billion could cure world hunger, just think of what that Pentagon budget is of almost $800 billion, and they keep seeking more. Again, I'm back to the same thing with these sanctions on Russia. To me, it's like listening to Mike Rivero's All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. and realize that as the banking issue got worse and worse, and we see the EU's crumbling, the banks are having problems. Here in the United States, the banks are having problems. Credit card debt is just, it's so surmounting right now that people can't even, they're defaulting on that. They're defaulting on their auto loans. People are losing their homes. And the corporations are doing what? Oh, yeah, you'll get one that Trump will highlight and says, oh, well, this car dealer is going to bring back so many X amount of jobs. Well, that's fine, but there's no one to buy them. Unless it's the employees themselves. No one has any money. And we can look at Canada. Their stock market shows that their housing crunch is coming. The U.S. shows that theirs is overinflated again, just like it was in 2008, 2009. It's amazing that people don't see this, what's coming. And just as like the sanctions on North Korea, again, it's intent to provoke the Koreas. And, of course, they always come out with this constant barrage of all this missile silos that Kim Jong-un hasn't abandoned his stuff. Well, everyone that you know says, I wouldn't do it either, because everyone who disarms is attacked. Anyway, we'll be right back. 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Anytime, anywhere you go,
Welcome back, everyone. Coming up toward the top of the hour here, we have James in Austin there. Good evening, James. I hope you're having a good night.
Well, so far, how about yourself?
Well, not too shabby for up north here.
Good to hear. Did you read his manifesto, The Great Replacement?
You know, my friend Carol over in Idaho had sent an email out. I read part of it, and then I guess it was removed or something like that. It may not have been totally accurate or something, so I didn't read the whole thing, no.
Well, after reading it, and I read it, the whole thing, you can't see the guy who was crazy.
You mean you can't say that he was, that he had, probably had all his mental faculties, that he was on a mission then or something?
Correct. And he was quite intelligent, yeah, as a matter of fact. He laid
you have to think of that.
He did what he did.
Yeah, James. Yeah, James, anyone that can plot something like that, that has that foreknowledge to know exactly. I mean, like, say, if you watch the video, he is actually timing himself. He's got this down pat, like he's rehearsed it many times in his mind.
Oh, he has.
Yeah.
He said he took 2 years to make the plan, and he also took 2 months or 3 months, two or three months to figure out which one he was going to hit. So the guy wasn't stupid. He saw a problem that needed to be fixed or addressed. Yeah.
But you know what gets me, though, is when you hear statements like that, whether that's anti-Muslim or anti-immigration or something like that, and then you find out who he was, and then you find out, like on YouTube there, where the Zionists openly admit that immigration's number one on their agenda. This is to drive people together, to fuel racism, just as much as Israel is sending arms to Honduras, to Myanmar, Ukraine. I mean, this is all to drive massive immigration to where then the rabbis say that, oh, Europe is too dangerous for the Jews. Move to Israel.
Well, Israel's about the most racist country in the world. Would you not agree?
Yeah, that's right, James.
So, this guy right here, the way I read what he was talking about, was he was tired of the invasion, the displacement of the native population, or the white people over there in New Zealand. And if you look at it, just about every other white country in the whole world, United States, France, Germany, England, name it. And he decided
James,
this was the best option. Yeah, James, as a matter of fact, he goes into quite detail about why or what his reasoning for choosing the weapons that he did. It was to get the United States into a civil war or some kind of a disagreement between the people that are on the right and the people that are on the left, and with the aim
James,
stopping United Nations,
James,
the United States from being able to join in with NATO and go into places like Kosovo, and where we went in and stopped the native population from trying to remove.
You dropped off. Are you still there?
It's an interesting read. You should try it.
Well, yeah, I'll look for it here later on here, but
I can send you a link if you want.
Give it to Ken there, and then Ken will post it, okay? But what gets me, though, is, like I say, with all these Western nations and their coalition partners, they're the ones that have gone into all these countries and basically raped them of gold, oil, everything like that, and blown up their cities, left mass graves and stuff, and of course the people have nowhere to go. And so that's where immigration comes from. It's easier to go into an area that's already rebuilt again.
Right. Well, the problem with those nations is the people are being led by bad leaders, and the people aren't taking the time or the effort to correct the situation on their own. They're vulnerable.
That's correct. That's correct, James. Anyway, I got other callers here, so I'm going to go ahead and cut you loose here. But thanks for calling in, though. Okay, appreciate it.
You bet.
Sherry,
online.
Yeah, Ken, grab his link there, okay? Thank you. Sherry in Kansas here. I have to cover you through the break here, but go ahead and start talking, young lady.
Hello. Hi. You know, you're talking about the bankers in a panic, and I've pretty much decided all this warmongering on part of the United States particularly, but also, you know, the other countries that are